Before I get started, I'd just like to take a moment to say thank you to the congregation for allowing me to leave Wednesday night and to go home Thursday and Friday and Saturday to be with the family. You know, T and I's anniversary was back in October, and our daughter had bought us tickets to the George Strait concert as our anniversary gift. And Cheyenne's birthday, like Mr. Davis's, was on March the 7th, and we didn't have a chance to go home and do anything together. And so we went out this past night and celebrated my daughter's 28th birthday at the George Strait concert. So thank you for allowing me to have that opportunity to make those special memories. I will let you know that my time at home wasn't all fun and play. I did have some work to do. There's a young lady who was in our youth group many years ago when we served the Southern Baptist United Methodist Church there in the community of Antioch that is now a grown young woman, and her fiancé come to the house and asked me to counsel them and to help prepare their wedding. And so we did so. About a 3.5-hour consultation went past, and we got everything lined out, even all the way down to the invitations. And Alexis said, well, preacher, I asked them if they were going to use the old mail system, how that was going to work, and they said that they were going to use the electronic invitation. And she said, do you know anything about that? And I said, well, no, really. I mean, only whenever our own Audrey Foster got married. That was my first time to ever see an electronic invitation. When T and I got married, we still did it what we thought was the right way. Maybe people consider it the old-fashioned way, where you send out an invitation that says, joyfully accepts, regretfully declines, or not sure, and they have to mail it back to you. I share all that because as I was sitting there thinking about my conversation with Alexis and Cameron, and about the invitations, it brought to my mind that Lent is actually an invitation. An invitation for us to journey into the wilderness. Now, I know that using that terminology doesn't sound very inviting, does it? In fact, it almost sounds scary. But if we read and understand the story of Jesus' 40-day journey, this invitation is really about entering to a space and place where one can experience the strength and abundance of God's grace. Now, to communicate this more clearly, Lent is really about us entering into God's time, not the world's time, to make more space for God. Hence, that is why when we give up something, when it comes across our mind, us desiring that whatever it is, well, that's why we end up turning around and praying, right? We have those thoughts or those desires because we are asking, making space for more space for God. Lent is not about us, about the pain of sacrificing a luxury, but it always has been about making space for God. Just as the ways of weddings have changed, the application is not any different. Likewise, that's the same for us at Lent. The ways may have changed. We may not be journeying 40 days through a desert with nothing but water, but the application of Lent has not changed. When we take the time to make more of a space for God in our hearts and lives, then we become more God-centered wholeheartedly. We are able to see His divine intervention and promptings more clearly, able to hear more assuredly. I almost think that if we do this fully as the application asks, well, we will tangibly experience the providence and prosperity of God. Now, most pastors will encourage their congregations that embrace the season of Lent to see Lent as an invitation from us to God. But the application is actually reversed, brothers and sisters. Lent is an invitation from God to us, inviting us to experience the power of resurrection. Now, this terminology, resurrection, unfortunately, has at least culturally in the United States, been defined as a singular definition, and that means to rise from the dead. But the actual Greek word, anastasis, means rising up, standing up. And the Hebrew word for resurrection, I can't pronounce it, and if I put it on the screen, you couldn't read it. It's just a bunch of squiggly-looking lines. But regardless, it means rebirth or recovery. Now, just because the origins of these two words offer a slightly different meaning when translated into English, they both seek to confess a conviction that the living God is able to intervene in life's darkest hours, to invite you and I, even in those moments, into a newness of life. And those moments are always accompanied with an invitation. Now you may be wondering, where could we find such an invitation? Well, I'm glad you asked, because there's one that is found it's very beautiful the way it's presented in the book of Isaiah. Now many theologians think that this text highlights the covenant of grace made with us through Christ. And in part, when we read it, I think it'll be easy for you to see. But this passage, this invitation, also reflects an invitation for us, for the children of God of that day, to experience the resurrection power in the present. They don't have to be dead and gone to experience, but they could be alive and well. So this invitation comes on the heels of these Israelite children of Israel being exiled in Babylon for more than 50 years. Many of the listeners of Isaiah's day probably don't even know anything about the Promised Land, never seen it, much less seen its capital of Jerusalem. So when the prophet extends this invitation from God, I think it'd be easy to see that some would be pretty skeptical. I mean, after all the other nations had already watched them be decimated by the Babylonians some 50 years earlier. But nevertheless, God does extend an invitation, a beautiful one in fact, one that we can read about in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 9. So I'm going to invite you to read along with me in Isaiah 55, 1 through 9, where it says in verse 1, "All of you who are thirsty, come to the water. Whoever has money, come buy food and eat. Without money, at no cost, buy wine and milk. Why spend money for what isn't food and your earnings for what doesn't satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Enjoy the richest of feasts. Listen and come to me. Listen and you will live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful loyalty to David. Look, I made him a witness to the peoples, a prince and commander of peoples. Look, you will call a nation you do not know. A nation you don't know will run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, has glorified you." Verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord when he calls, or when he can, seek the Lord when he can still be found. Call him while he is yet near. Let the wicked abandon their ways and the sinful their schemes. Let them return to the Lord so that he may have mercy on them, to our God, because he is generous with forgiveness. My plans aren't your plans, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my plans than your plans." It is our tradition to conclude each scriptural reading here at Green Forest United Methodist Church saying, "This is the word of God for the people of God," and I'll respond saying, "Thanks be to God." Would you join me in a prayer? Holy God, we come today and we look at one small portion of your holy word where you extend an invitation for a group of people to experience the power of resurrection in their midst, in the very present. And while many of us yearn to have such an experience, we may just not know exactly what that looks like. So I pray today, God, that through this text, you'll give us an understanding of what it looks like, not only metaphorically, but physically and spiritually for us in our lives. As we'll be challenged today, Lord, let our hearts be examined by your Spirit, and whatever convictions may come about, may we be obedient to its promptings. This I pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, this metaphor that we see in the very beginning of this reading is one that we see throughout Scripture, one that we're all pretty familiar with. Isaiah calls to everyone that thirsts, urging them to come to the waters to quench that thirst. But God's invitation continues saying, even if you have no money, you can still buy and eat. In fact, you may buy both wine and milk, it says, without money. Reminding us, friends, that God's gifts are without a price to us. God's gifts are free to you and me. The prosperity of God is about God's abundance, not to only meet our physical needs, but also our spiritual needs. And we see this truth in verse 4 when the covenant made with David is reinstituted with the exiles. Isaiah promises that their rising up, or their resurrection, if you will cause them to be a light to other nations. A light so bright that nations they do not even know will come running to gain a community they never knew they needed and or desired. I find this invitation from God to speak of a transformed social order. Kind of like when Jesus says, the last will be first and the first will be last. What these two hold in common is the power of resurrection. And while I would never want to dilute the eternal promise of us experiencing, those of us who have placed faith in Jesus Christ, a Christ-like resurrection after our deaths, again, friends, I remind us, we do not have to die to experience the power of resurrection now. If you're living in an upside down world in your life, then God has an invitation with your name on it, inviting you to experience a transformed social order in your life. Lent is an invitation for us to experience the power of God that defies human comprehension and perception. Obviously, we see that at the very end when he says, my ways are not your ways. But if I can go back to that old method that me and T did when we got married with the RSVP, God's extending an invitation to every one of you who are butts in the pews this morning, as well as every one of you who are watching at home, as well as for Michael Bullen himself. And if you were given the opportunity to RSVP this invitation from God, which one would you pick? Would you click or check joyfully accepts? Would you check regretfully declines? Or would you check not sure? Before you make your decision, let me share with you what these three options hold for us. First and foremost, I think it's safe to say that Isaiah has definitely checked that he joyfully accepts God's invitation. And why would he not? The benefits say that there's free food, free booze, and a guaranteed entrance. That word come that we use repetitively within the first three verses, is used four different times. And if we answer God's call, accepting the divine invitation, no matter what we've done in the past, will not cancel us from being out, cancel out our ability to be accepted. We will not be turned away. This invitation from God through the season of Lent is one of amazing grace that is far-ranging, casting a big divine net, if you will, of mercy and forgiveness. Nothing we have ever done will supersede the love and power and forgiveness of God. So, if you choose to check joyfully accepts, then I hope you know that you're going to get a fresh anointing of grace. You'll be reminded of those sins that play in the back of your mind every night when you lay down. that God's already forgiven you for those. If you check joyfully accepts, there's a grace of God that not only forgives us of our sins, but that will empower you and I to be people that, well, we otherwise never dreamed that we could possibly be. And I'm not talking about being richer, bigger, and stronger. I'm talking about being more holy, more sanctified, a more reflection of the dignity and integrity of Jesus Christ. Now, that's great, and I can't see in my mind why anybody wouldn't check that. Yet every one of us sitting here today knows somebody in our family who would not check joyfully accepts, but would probably very happily put regretfully declines. Because for whatever reason, this offer of God is just too good to be true. Now look, I'm a product of a baby boomer. So all you baby boomers in here, you already have a negativity towards something that's too good to be true, because if it's too good to be true, then it probably is, right? It probably isn't what it says it will be. And I'll tell you something, friends. For those who choose that, my heart breaks. Because to reject any invitation from God throughout your whole life, I think will be one that you'll regret eternally. But you do notice that God's invitation today wasn't to a bunch of heathens who didn't know Jesus, right? Or didn't know Him. They were actually an invitation to people who were already called His children. The children of God. The Israelis. The Hebrew people. So now where the rubber meets the road. Now is where I go from preaching a little bit to prying into your life. Because God sent an invitation to you. An invitation to you today to go deeper in your faith. To learn how to be able to forgive when you don't want to forgive. To have a fresh new start. To confess that maybe you're not worthy, but you long to have more. And I find it funny. I mean, look, I've been preaching now for what, 10 years, 11 years? Or longer, 16 years? I find it so funny that when I go to Christians throughout my past, now I'm not harboring on anybody here at Green Forest, so don't get your feathers ruffled. But I find it funny whenever I go to people and tell them, hey, we're going to do something at church, won't you get involved? We're going to try to do this at church to help you grow spiritually. We're going to try to do this to help the church grow physically. We're going to do something that's going to promote Christianity within your life and hopefully abroad. And yet so many Christians will turn around and say, well, I don't want to get too involved in church. I don't want to be up there every night doing something. How sad is it? So many see service unto God as an imposition on one's time. But let's just say that today some of you here are still dead set on checking awfully, respectfully declines. And you justify it because you got other engagements. Michael, I'm just a little too busy right now to get more serious about my faith or the practice of my faith. Maybe you're thinking, man, this sounds like an invitation of a lifetime. But it comes at a really bad time in my life. I'll just have to take a rain check, preacher. God, sorry. Well, I've been there, friends. I'll let you know this may not be a good thing. Let me tell you why. In my preparation for this study, for this sermon, I looked at many studies that were compiled together. One that stood out to me was one that was done by an associate professor of management from Charleston Southern University School of Business. The name of his study is The Obstacles to Growth Study. And it was conducted over a 5-year span where data was gathered from responses of more than 20,000 people worldwide who self-identified as Christians. The study revealed that on average, more than 4 in 10 Christians around the world say they often or always rush from task to task. The respondents also said that it's often or always true that the busyness of life gets in the way of developing their relationship with God. The author says all this rushing from task to task takes time. Career time, family time, me time. There's very little amount of time left for God time. But the irony of this is those who chose this option still expect God to offer a path of least resistance for their lives. We've seen that mindset before, right? God, I want you to bless this mess that I'm in. Not give me the tools to figure out how I won't recreate, I won't continue to repeat this cycle. But I just would rather that you just bless this mess, go ahead and stamp your forgiveness on it, and let me go about my life. I don't want the inconvenience of having to work toward holiness. I don't want to know what it's like to have to partner with the Holy Spirit. I don't want to know what it's like to have to embrace that trait of the fruit of the Spirit called self-control. And then, of course, there's that last option, not sure. Our text advises us to seek the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near, to return to the Lord and to our God. Again, this sounds like an intriguing offer. According to the Bible, it says if we accept, God will have mercy on us and will abundantly pardon us. That's an invitation for even those of us who are seasoned Christians to experience a fresh new start, a newness of life that many of us probably long for, but just ain't really sure about how to get it once again. What does that mean, preacher? Well, I can tell you, the older I get, the more my body aches, the more my head hurts, the more I just don't have the enthusiasm and the stamina that I once had. There's things I would love to do in this community, in this church, but I can't run 24/7. At one time I could. I can't no more. But that doesn't mean that I can sit on my laurels and kick my feet up on my past accomplishments. There are still things that God wants me to get done. I want a newness of life. My newness of life is a renewed joy. I want a renewed passion. I want a renewed energy from inside out to do those things. And the Bible says all I have to do is accept God's invitation, and those things will come about. Yet I know that there are many within our community, within our families, who would still want to check, we're not sure. You know, I guess if we'd be honest, anytime any of us get ready to embark on a new adventure, stepping back and saying, I'm not sure, I'd like to think about this, I'd like to scope it out, I'd like to make sure that what I'm getting into and committing to is something I can really follow through with, I think most of us would call that wise counsel, wouldn't we? So today, my friends, if that is your response, not sure, then I want you to know I can respect that. But here's what I'd like to challenge you to do. Through the rest of this Lenten season, until Easter morning, give God a chance. Give Him a chance. If you're not as compulsive as I am about jumping in with both feet in the deep end of the pool, then just stick your toe in the shallow end. Give God a chance. I promise you, you won't regret it. I respect, maybe you say, I'm not sure. But I remind you, friends, if you're wanting to experience the abundance of life through God, give Him a chance. If you want a fresh start, give Him a chance. If you're wanting to take your life off of autopilot and place your life and will over to the care of God, then just simply give him a chance. Because he doesn't tell us to what degree that we have to seek his kingdom and righteousness for everything else to be added to us. He just says to do it. And if the faith of a mustard seed can move mountains, then how much can your little bit of investment not bring about an abundance of God that causes you to want to plunge from head down into whatever it is that he's asking you to embrace through his invitation in your life? It's an invitation, an open invitation for you and me. One that expects his RSV, that he expects an RSVP, which is the title of the sermon. I will tell you this much. I'm going to accept the option of joyfully accepts. Not so that I can be a better preacher for you, or be more of a outreach person in this community for this church, but because I need to grow personally in my relationship with God. I can't keep giving, and never take time to be filled back up. So part of my emptiness is my fault. But I know how to be re-energized. I know how to be made renewed. All I have to do is check joyfully accepts. And I hope that you will as well. As the praise band makes their way back up, if you're here this morning and you feel the need to rededicate your life to the Lord, come down here to the altar and I'll pray with you. I'll even anoint you with oil in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, reminding you that oil not only brings about healing, it's also a celebration that you're accepting, joyfully accepting this opportunity to be renewed. If you're here today and you're not sure, and you want somebody to talk to about it, I'm here. We can pray about it right here, starting that conversation between me and you and God. And if you still choose to select regretfully, decline. Well, I respect that. But I pray that whatever you're declining doesn't cause you to miss out on all that God wants you to experience. I offer this to you today in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.